It's time. It's time to amp things up and shoot them straight out the stratosphere. It's your turn to stand up for what it is you do, what it is you want to represent, and deliver. And that's what this podcast is all about. This is the Supernova Podcast, and I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. And here it is, your invitation to greatness. Hello, Annette, and welcome to the Supernova Podcast. It is so great to have you here.
Thank you, Lena. I am really looking forward to talking with you today.
Oh, brilliant. And for everyone who's tuning in, you're in for an absolute treat, because Annette's all about game-changing solutions, and she's going to be giving tips from an Olympian who's performed on one of the world's greatest stages, which was the 2000 Olympic Games. So before we just start, like, give us the behind the scenes, like, what is it like to be there?
To be there at the Olympic Games?
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was a culmination of a big dream for me, and to finally be there. And two memories really stick out. The opening ceremony, mm-hmm. getting to march around in front of 100,000 people, and Sydney was being our home country. I am Australian. And being able to march in front of our home crowd and just take that all in, and having dreamt of going to the Olympics from when I was just 10 years old, and marching around and taking part in all of that was fantastic. And then the other great memory was then the next day playing in front of 10,000 people in on the beach volleyball court of Bondi Beach in one of the most amazing stadiums, and just playing my heart out. And you know, I still remember tying up at 13 all, and just everyone just stamping their feet. We were up against an American team who were the favorites in our match, and mm-hmm. we really had a fantastic game. And just the support from the people that got behind us, that was memorable.
Oh, that sounds so magical. I'm just feeling that energy like cascading over me as you speak about it, and just that intensity must have been amazing.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when I think of certain moments, you know, as I came out into the stadium and they called out Australia, you know, it still gives me tingles and little goosebumps. And, you know, when I come across various memories, I only just recently actually came across my recording of my game and was able to transfer it to DVD and rewatching it and sharing it with friends and family here where I live now in Hawaii, and hadn't been able to show them this record of my playing, and I'm getting to relive it again.
Ooh, that's brilliant. It's always fun having those flashback moments.
Yes, yes. And I remember I was watching one point, and my husband was saying, okay, so what's about to happen? And you know, I said, I think I do this, and sure enough, it was a winner serve, and it was one that I had imagined. So they do stick in the mind.
Oh, of course, it's just obviously watching it from a different perspective.
Yes, and I had watched it plenty of times back then, but it's been 14 years now, and I still play, and I have volleyball friends here, and but just going back and reliving that, and you know, it is another era.
For sure. And now you've kind of turned the page and moved more into motivational speaking and public training.
Yes, it's been an interesting journey. You know, I was really looking forward to retirement after sport, and it was sort of a long journey to get to where I am now. And actually, I retired three times in the time afterwards. While to find a new passion, a new direction, and I kept going back to volleyball because that was what I loved and where I got fulfillment and where I, you know, created success. And, you know, I really had that loss of direction, which a lot of athletes suffer in life sport. And it wasn't until I started attending personal development seminars around 2006 that I was encouraged to really look at life ahead instead of looking back. You know, I didn't even really appreciate that I was an Olympian. I was thinking, well, I'm just an Olympian, and I really wasn't appreciating it and using it to its full advantage and seeing it for what it was. I have friends that are gold medalists, and so I was, you know, comparing myself, and it's never good to compare yourself to others. It's really about thinking, you know, this is what I did and I accomplished, and I started hanging around non-athletes and got to appreciate the magnitude of what I had achieved and what it took to achieve that. And now I was in a position to replicate that. Well, if I can achieve that, what can I achieve now? And I started looking forward in my life and set new goals. And I saw the speaker up on stage and thought, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be empowering other people. I want to be able to spread a message. And so I started educating myself, took courses to become a coach, to become a speaker, to develop myself both personally and professionally, and you know, started to create the life that I wanted. So I became a coach and a speaker, and done a lot of different things since that time. I became a trainer for the organization that I trained with, which was the Chris Howard organization. Then from that, things didn't quite work out, so I did that for about 2 years and got to teach in around the world, and that was amazing, and got to meet fantastic people and really changed a lot of lives. After that, I started working for another program and looked at how do we create a thinking-based safety program and put all my talents based on the fact that I love writing, I love coaching, and love speaking, you know, finding opportunities that brought out my strengths were great. But I realized I wasn't passionate enough about that. So again, I looked for, where do I go now? And meanwhile, I had met my husband through deciding what I wanted in a man and getting clear on who I wanted to be in a relationship. So applying again all those mindsets and tools to deciding this is what I want and this is what who I want to be. And I found my husband online. We actually met online on eHarmony, a little advertisement for them. And we got married 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And that's why I'm in Hawaii. I'm sure you were curious as to how I got here.
Definitely.
So that's how I got into coaching and training and speaking and establishing myself here and working on networking and you know, I don't know if you've looked at Hawaii on the map. It's very, very isolated. Mm. And yeah, things like this is a great way to connect with the world. And this is my first interview with someone from South Africa, so it's wonderful.
Well, it's so great to have you on the call. And what I love about what you were just saying is, you know, we're so great at manifesting things, and we always see ourselves from the box that we're in, and we're comparing ourselves to other people, but we never really take stock of what we've done and what we've accomplished. And what we need to learn to realize is that we've created that. And in your kind of process, in your evolution, you've now seen that your strengths are about speaking, writing, and coaching, and you've now gone and reinvented all of that and created a space that you really feel passionate about and rejuvenated about.
Absolutely. And I'm always reassessing it, you know, refining it and thinking, okay, am I using my strengths? At times I'm having to do more when I'm doing everything myself as a solo business, but I've also built a network and am working with other organizations so that I can focus on my strengths and let other people do what they're good at. Mm. So, but always looking at, okay, is this what I had set out to do? Is this what I really want? Or do I need to refine the plan a bit? Do I need to set off some new goals to redirect where I want to go? It's like, you know, you're going on a trip and you decide you want to go to Hawaii or something, but you think, oh, well, this is not what I imagined it to be. You know, let's find something that maybe has these qualities, but it's a little bit different. It's a little bit cooler, for example.
You really do get to invent the experience that you want to have. And I think the power in that is once you find your purpose and your grounding thing, then you can kind of create a web around it and really spread yourself out and play around with different things. Because conventionally, in a lot of marketing things, it's like, just do one thing and do it awesomely. But so many of us, especially purpose-centered entrepreneurs, are such multi-dimensional beings that we want to be a bit of an author, we want to be a bit of a coach, we want to be a bit of this and a bit of that. And finding a way to weave that and bring that all together is really, really powerful.
Yes, and the trouble also with the running a business and everything, you know, finding that you can do it all, but also thinking, where are you best really focusing your attention? You know, even as a speaker, and I help others with their talks and their speaking, and have refined that even finer to working with someone with their content. And chunking down and getting really tight with what it is your core message is something that I teach speakers, because the more you get really tight on your core message, that helps stand you apart from other people. And that brings you value, brings you to be a valuable speaker because you are that particular specialty versus, yeah, I can do a bit of this and that. And then, yes, all your different skills, like you know, you have a book and all those things complement that, but it's all based on a core message.
Well, speaking of the zone of genius, I'm so glad that you kind of brought that in. How would you define your message? Since you help other people define theirs, how would you, in a quick flash, sum that all up and put that out there?
My core message is really about being the best you can be. I mean, that's sort of fairly generic, but it's bringing out your best and in essence, believing enough in yourself to follow your dreams. That's what enabled me to make it to the Olympics. No one else was there to support me there were people supporting me, but it was really up to me to believe it and to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same thing with, you know, I've moved cities, I've moved countries to follow my dreams, to follow my passion, to follow my heart. And that's what I want people to believe in themselves and believe that they are brilliant, to know that they are brilliant, to do what it is that they want to do.
Well, it's such a powerful message. And if you can't internalize it, and if you're kind of externalizing everything and waiting for everyone else to validate you and give you that support, it's going to be so much harder for you to bring anything into reality.
Yes, yes. And or if I will second guess myself with certain things. But when I really just stop and think, you know, who am I not to do this? Why question my doubts and get to the core of it? Then, you know, there's nothing really stopping me. And so that's the sort of core message. And then how can I help people with various self-questioning and tools to help them to do that, to pursue their dreams, to believe in themselves, to make things happen. And so and to continually overcome the obstacles along their way.
Because after all, I think very often the biggest thing that gets in our own way is ourselves. And our mindset and our belief systems, that taints so much of our experiences and the way that we see the world. And it also shows up in the fears that we have. I mean, on one side, people often speak of the fear of death as being one of the biggest fears. But on the other side, public speaking has that inhibiting fear as well as being one of the biggest fears that people face. Let's start there and just sweep those off the table before we get into claiming your power and claiming your voice. How have you kind of seen the fear of public speaking come up, and how have you moved through that?
You know, I would never have had a fear of public speaking. I actually love to perform. Even I remember, you know, getting up at elementary school or primary school, depending on what you call it, and, you know, being okay with singing in front of the class. And so that was never a fear of mine, but I know it's a big fear for a lot of people. And the way I help people get overcome that fear is really getting clear on what that fear is for them, because it's a very blanket statement. You know, you don't really fear speaking, you're fearing something about it. And so the more you can break it down to know what are you actually scared about, you can then address it. You can't really address fear of public speaking other than to run away from it. Whereas if you're like, well, what are you actually afraid of? Are you afraid of people laughing at you? Often, you know, that's often a big concern, because what happens with speaking is there comes a time, usually often in your early years growing up, that you had to speak in front of a crowd for the first time. And that experience will shape what you believe around speaking. And so if you got up and even just answered a question and you kids laughed at you or your teacher told you you were wrong, any gamut of experiences, or you stood up and you froze, couldn't say anything, then you repeat that. Mm-hmm. You either think that's going to happen again and that stops you doing it, or you've created this habit that every time you go to speak in front of people, you freeze, you know, and it's an automatic thing. And so we need to break those habits, and awareness is a massive step to addressing that. What's the worst thing that happens? Yep, some people can laugh at you. Really? Are they going to laugh at you? You know, do you see people, do you ever laugh at people, you know, making mistakes? And you just break it down point by point.
No, I think that's really powerful. Because of what you just said, it is a blanket statement and you can't really do anything with that. But this at least makes it proactive, and it's something that's actually doable. It's something that you can actually work through.
Yeah, it's very tangible. And for some, you know, there's a phobia attached to it. And a phobia is really an irrational fear. You just can't rationalize it. The same as, you know, if someone has a phobia around snakes or insects, you can't just rationalize it and say, well, that's silly, because that's not going to help you. There's this habitual reaction has built up to it, and so that needs a little bit more work, a little bit of reprogramming, and often that's done with some form of hypnosis. And you know, if you have that sort of phobic reaction to it, then you really want to work with someone whose expertise addresses that, and you can change. A lot of people think, well, that's just how I am. I can't change. But anyone can change. You change one time from being fearless to suddenly having fears, you can absolutely change back. You can unlearn or learn new habits, and you've just got to be open to it.
Yeah, I love that. And in one second, you can have all the courage in the world, and the next second, you're going to be faced with that fear, and it's natural. It's natural to step into something a little bit unknown and to get a little bit ruffled, but it's what you do with it that counts.
Yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, especially if it's just a small fear, you know, sometimes people get that butterfly feeling. I don't know. Have you ever had the butterfly feeling when you're going out to speak? And I will still get it, you know, with certain experiences, even, you know, if I'm doing a regular talk, suddenly it's there. And it's the meaning you give to that will determine how you respond. So if you take that to mean and you focus on, oh my God, I'm nervous. I'm so nervous. And you focus on, wow, I'm nervous. I'm really going to blow this, da, da, da. Then that obviously is going to happen. But what I do when I get those butterflies, I think, great. That means I'm ready for this. That means I'm showing up, and I realize how special this is. This is special for the people that are out there ready to listen to me, and I'm in a good place for that. And so I know that I'm going to just go out there and be ready because of these butterflies.
Well, I hope everybody's ready to face that and to really claim their voice and get to know what it is that they want to share with the world, because I think it's so important and it's so fundamental for the work we want to do. Even if you're not on a global stage, which people invariably may be by the nature of the work that we do, we need to know these skill sets. So I think it's just so powerful to learn how to do public speaking.
I agree. And what I love is that, you know, even someone who has no intention ever to do a speech or a talk, by getting that extra confidence, you suddenly have confidence to have that one-on-one conversation that perhaps you were holding back from doing. It's about having your voice, being able to express your opinion. I mean, we have this freedom of speech, but we don't necessarily claim that right to say and express ourselves. And so that's what I'm really more passionate about, that people have that, are willing to express themselves, whether it is to one person, whether it is to a small group, whether it's out to a larger group, and to help them get that message out and to speak their truth. But, you know, if we can do that, then little by little we can change the world. And I had a thought before, and I definitely want to get this across. Don't believe you have to be an extrovert either to get out there and speak. A lot of speakers are introverts. I'm an introvert. I'm on the cusp of introvert, extrovert, but I prefer, you know, being an introvert, I need my time alone. I need to get away from the crowd. I don't have to be out there. And the most important thing when I'm out there is I'm there for the audience, for them to get a message, and you forget about yourself. You know, if you're nervous about yourself, then get over it, because it's about the audience and getting your message out to them.
Yeah. It's about the message. It's about living your purpose and showing up in that powerful way. And I think that's a great thing, because it moves us away from having to be that celebrity or to be that kind of egoic structure or leader in that certain way, because we can taint those words and we get phobias and fears around them, where right now we get to see ourselves as ambassadors and we're just channeling the things that need to come through and the change that needs to happen.
Yes, and it often the change happens and the transformation happens in unexpected ways. So it's a beautiful thing.
I love it when it happens that way. It's like, oh, that just happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know, you probably experienced this, you know, coaching with someone and you suddenly feel inspired to say, well, I just, you know, to direct in a certain way or to ask a certain question, and it just happens to be perfect for the moment. And so it is definitely divinely inspired.
Uh-huh. All those aha moments, so powerful. Well, I think one of the things that seems to be such a fundamental thing for me as I see it, and maybe we don't need to start here, but it feels like before we find the message, we really need to get present in what it is that we want to be doing. On one side, you've kind of got the stage presence, how you show up, but it's really about being present in the moment and letting yourself hear what it is that you want to be speaking about. So is that a place that you start, or where do you start the process on discovering your voice and finding your message?
It's really about thinking, what are you passionate about and what do you want people to get? Like you asked me, you know, I want people to get that they are brilliant. Mm-hmm. And to give them then tools to do that. And so knowing what it is, if you want to get out there and get a message out, just think, well, what is that message? And often, you know, your life gives you clues. If you've been through a challenge and you found a way through that challenge and you want to let other people, make it easier for other people to get through that or to be support them through that, then that's a clue to the message that you want to get out. You know, it could be some refinements in that. You know, two people could have the same experiences but have a different message to share. And so getting in touch with, what are you most passionate about? What do you want to make easier for other people? And what do you have a solution for? It might be unique or it might not. It could just be the same message that someone else has, but you've got a particular audience that gravitates towards you because of your story around it, your experience. But there's people that need to help you and that you need to help. And often that gives me courage in that, you know, I see some people going through struggle. I, you know, had a family member that was going through struggles, and I could see that the thing that let me stay away and stop trying to help was knowing that, you know, she probably needs to go through this so that when she is older, when she's 30 or so, she can perhaps be in a position where she can help others go mm-hmm. through that situation. Because I haven't been through that situation, you know, I wouldn't know what to do. So knowing that, you know, if you're seeing someone struggling, maybe they need to be there to become stronger and to be better and then to be able to show the way for others.
I think that's such a good point that you made there, because it's almost like we want to bubble wrap all these experiences or clients or people or friends or family or ourselves, but we don't realize that sometimes there is a lesson in something and sometimes it's just the experience of it, but there's something, it's coming up for a reason.
Yeah, and on the inverse side of that, you know, as a student, I'm constantly studying and seeing what's out there, what's a new way of doing things and following certain strategies and whatnot. And there's so much information out there, but you've still got to figure it out for yourself to some extent. You've got to be able to find out how does that recipe and strategy work for me, and still go through those growing pains, basically, to find that fit. Yes, you definitely are going to speed up the process when you've learned something. You know, it's like if you're trying to bake a cake and, you know, versus starting from scratch, it's going to take a long time. But if you've got someone's recipe, but then you're going to make those adjustments. And so, just being patient with yourself. If you are learning things and taking on board and perhaps not quite getting the results that you would want because they, you know, everyone else got results in 30 days, 90 days, and it's taking you a bit longer, just know that it all depends on where you're starting from.
Of course. And that all impacts and that all comes together, and you can swirl it together with what you're passionate about, what you're purposeful about, and the kind of message that you want to do. And then the next step would be to really show up and claim it and share it with the world. So how can people show up powerfully given that they now have this message? And really open up and channel what it is that they want to be putting out there.
Finding the people that they want to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
So not everyone is going to be their audience. Find their ideal audience and see where they hang out, you know, hanging out online, hanging out in groups, in physical meetings. You know, your audience can be like this on podcasts. They can also be in a room in your city. Or it could be, you know, I've done a lot of rotary talks and small talks like that to build the connections, and then through them finding out where that might be. But it's just being really curious about where is your platform going to be and what is the ideal platform. It could just be simply workshops locally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can partner with people to get those workshops happening and for you to fill those workshops, and that is a great platform. It could be the virtual platform. So there are a few ideas on getting it out there, but the clearer you are in your own mind about, you know, what your message is, who do you want to speak to, who the people are going to transform, and then getting curious about that, you start to build the right connections.
Mm. And that goes back to what we were saying earlier, because there's so many different ways to deliver it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a global stage or a public stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people. You know, your audience
may
be
especially not in the beginning.
No, of course. But finding those nuances and finding those special places where you get to rendezvous with people and have that conversation, really.
Yeah. And you're just even telling people, you know, that you have this message you want to get out, you know, and then they say, wow, you know, you should talk to somebody. And then then you just start to build that web of connectivity that you will find your place and you will find an ear for your message.
That snowball effect, that's really powerful.
Yes. And, you know, and then, you know, I do a lot of stuff on social media, and we met through social media. Mm-hmm. On Facebook. And, you know, looking to see what's out there, seeing mutual connections, mutual energy, collaboration, and seeing somebody who's doing similar things, maybe a little bit different. You know, it's just really looking and seeing the opportunities that are out there. Once you know what it is that you want to do, you know, and you're looking for those opportunities, you'll see that they were always there, but because you're on the lookout, you pick them up now.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then that kind of takes us to the next level, because I mean, there's so many different levels to this, but just to kind of give people an overview of power of this and how they can really move forward with powerfully, even though we're kind of brushstroking it, how would they then go through and create an impact with the speech? Because the great thing about not just a speech, but any conversation you have, any message that you have, it has the power to start a movement. It has the power to really transform. And there's so many people out there who just kind of speak into it and they go in very dry and they don't have the energy or the charisma or the personality or the confidence to really deliver that in such a powerful way. So how do you speak into that part of the conversation, the delivery piece and the impact?
Yeah. So the actual delivery. So you've already done the preparation. You've mm-hmm. got your message. Yep. And then the delivery. It's, you know, firstly, you've got to be prepared to come out there with your energy, and practicing it and practicing it and practicing it again will help you to relax and think about, in your practicing, how do you want to deliver it? Really, not only practicing and preparing the words, but practicing and thinking, okay, how am I going to put my tone here, you know, to elevate and so that I'm not monotone? How am I going to, you know, use even the power of pause? Where am I going to put some emphasis, and how am I going to express myself so that I'm really getting this message across? At times I may need to speak, you know, loudly to get it across, and other times a little bit softly, slowly. It's mixing that up, but you're preparing that beforehand so that you are looking at all your areas of communication and looking at how do you use your body to communicate so that you really connect with the audience. You know, it's knowing your audience as well, but it's knowing yourself. You know, the more you are really authentic, you know, I'm not saying go out there and be this really big, rah-rah kind of speaker and loud, because that's not me either. You know, my style is very, pretty much how you're hearing most of the time. It's empathetic. It's just, hey, get this message, you know, rather than, hey, you got to get this now. That's not me. And I'm, you know, if I did it, it would come across really fake. Mm-hmm. So you've got to find out and decide who do you want to be up there. You can model some people up there that are doing great stuff and think, wow, I'd love to have a little bit of that, but you're still putting your own twist to it so that you are natural.
Yeah, it really does come back to knowing yourself and being authentic, and I see that so much time and time again. And the other thing that comes up across for me, and which is such a big part of the work that I do, is you've got to realize that you're actually creating an experience. It's not just a message that you're putting out there. It's a whole movement that you're doing. And when you're also in that kind of a mindset, it also helps you create those inflections, those pauses. It helps you structure it in such a different and much more organic way, because you see it in the bigger picture rather than just isolating it and trying to deliver something in isolation.
Yeah, you know, you're thinking about how do you want the audience to feel, and you are also dipping into those feelings. How can you take people on a journey and not just giving all these dry facts, but telling your story, telling your story, telling other stories, and so that at the end of it, they remember you. And it was Maya Angelou who said, you know, people don't remember. I'm not totally accurate with the beginning. No, people don't remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you need to focus. How are you going to make them feel? And how, what are you going to give them, so that they do leave with something that they can take away, even if it's just one point? You know, you can't let them leave with 5 points because, or more, because they're going to forget them. So if you can take anything away from this, is, you know, stick to really focusing on 3 points at the most.
Just going back to what you were saying now, I think it's so important, because it's really then about meeting the moment, shaping the moment, shaping that conversation, deciding how you want to show up, being authentic to that, and really creating that experience in such a powerful way, and just packaging that.
My three things are that you focus on your confidence. You know, you definitely want to speak with confidence. You want to be confident about yourself, but you also want to be confident about your topic. You want to be confident that you're the expert. So one is confidence. Two is your content, that you've prepared that content of your message from beginning to end, that you grab their attention at hello, and that you then are methodically working through your content to a great end, that it all flows well. And then three is your delivery. So, you know, each of those have sub points, but they're the three main areas that I work with speakers, and to help them make an impact. You know, it's great to have a message, but if it doesn't get heard, if it doesn't get out there and doesn't have the impact, then you'll be, you know, you might get some polite applause, but people forget what you said, you know, 30 minutes later or half a day later, They're like, oh yeah, it was nice. You know, it was nice to hear them. You know, I hate getting that kind of feedback. And, you know, I hate to be known as wow, I was really motivated. And so what did you do? I'm like, well, nothing, you know, nothing different. So giving people something that they can take away and do something different so they can make a change. It doesn't have to be a radical change, even just a fine tuning so that they can make a difference to their own life.
Mm. And I think that's also such a valid point, because a lot of motivational speakers, and I'm not saying this is the formula or this is what it is, but it's kind of got this projection that it really is that rah-rah motivational feel-good thing. But it doesn't have that grounded application to it. So knowing to bring that element in and just being aware of that is so important.
Yeah, and I prefer the term inspirational speaker, but I use motivational speaker because it's a good keyword. Yeah, that's what people look for. So it's, unfortunately, you've got to use that. But then, you know, on my site, we'll definitely put out there that I'm an inspirational speaker, inspiring people to take action.
Mm-hmm. I think those three points to a winning performance are really such fundamental ones, because it's about confidence, it's about the content, and it's about the delivery. And for me, it kind of all comes down to also how you fascinate, isn't it? I mean, that's where we met.
Exactly. Yes.
And stay fascinating. Really.
Yes, you know, and we learned through Sally Hogshead's How to Fascinate and How the World Sees You, and that really helped to refine my work. And, you know, I think it's invaluable for speakers to know how they are most fascinating. How can they find their style for communicating their message? The curious thing about that is my particular type, my advantage, doesn't necessarily lend itself to speaking. I'm more of a listener. I speak the language of listening, but I can see that in my speaking, and that even as I'm speaking, I'm listening to the audience in a physical way. Mm. I'm tuning into them and working out what do they need to know. So it really helped me to see that, well, this is my strength, rather than trying to be something different.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing my strength and totally owning it. And that's one of the most powerful things anyone can do. You know, if as a speaker, as a entrepreneur, is just to really own your strengths, own your expertise, and do that with unabashed enthusiasm.
Yep, for sure. No, and also just going back to my profile, I remember innovation being my dormant advantage, and I'm thinking, but I want to do the public speaking thing, and I want to be on stages as well, maybe not to such a degree, but it's like, how do you hold that? And that's the key question. It's how you hold these things. It's how you hold the word motivational speaker. It's how you hold your advantage and how you create that unique spin on it and how you bring the best of you into that. Because just because that label doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that there isn't a way that you can apply yourself to it.
Absolutely. So what were you?
Mine was power and trust. So I'm the guardian.
Ah, yep. So, you know, and a lot of speakers do speak with power, mm-hmm. you know, and that you lend yourself to being listened to, and also, you know, doing that with trust. I'm not so good on the trust. I don't do it so consistently. And that's great for you. You know, you're doing a consistent work with podcasts. So, you know, and I don't know how many of your listeners have done that, the fascination work, but it's well worth doing to understand yourself and to see how does that relate to your message. You know, I've tapped onto my ability to be a game changer, and, you know, I'm all about change. That's the innovation side of it. And looking at that, well, even with my speaking and teaching, it's about providing game-changing tools.
Mm-hmm. As we wrap up, how can people connect with you? How can people tap into the work that you're doing? And how can people power charge their experience so that they can be the kind of powerful speakers that they need to be?
Very easy. So my name is Annette Lynch, and my website is AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com. So Annette with two N's and two T's, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H, speaking.com. And when they go there, they actually get access to a free speaker checklist and speaker guide, which speaks to five keys to speaking. So there's a couple more around the content and the delivery that they can measure themselves and see what does make the difference in those five areas so they can connect with their audience. It's one thing having that message, but you really need to connect with your audience if they are going to get it, and connecting with the right audience. So that's a nice little cheat sheet that they can download for free. And from there, you know, you can look at, if they wanted more, then they can work with me as well.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure to include that cheat sheet in the links provided.
Thank you. Yeah, AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com.
Brilliant. Well, to all those supernovas and purpose-centered entrepreneurs out there, I hope that you're inspired to connect, engage, and transform. It's been so great speaking to you, Annette.
Thank you so much, Lena, and thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, it's wonderful that you are creating this to inspire and ignite other people to step up.
To find out more about igniting more authentic experiences in your life, head on over to www.lenaski.com. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll not only get an exclusive guide to Get Up and Go-Go, a guide to making things happen, but you'll also get front row tickets and discounted tickets to the launch of my new online course, How to Market Yourself Authentically. So head on over to www.lenaski to find out more.